Self-censorship is a major concern nowadays. In the reemergence of book banning, many have started to reevaluate our views on self-censorship as well. According to the Inevitable Problem of Self-Censorship, an Inside Higher Ed article by their longtime writer John Wilson, published January 11, 2022, 83% of college students say they have engaged in acts of self-censorship. Pundits cite the cause of self-censorship to be related to PC culture and hypersensitive youth culture. Self-censorship and anxieties around and about self-censorship seem to be all around us. The fear of self-censorship has infiltrated the self-help genre. This pervasive outlook is what I found when I engaged in a rhetorical analysis of the front cover and promotional material of Tamara Chandler's Feedback and Other Dirty Words. Here, guiding us through conversations of self-help as well as communication apprehension, we are on the second analysis chapter of Have No Fear. Within the last two episodes, we were able to understand culturally why self-help has become a genre that we as Americans take extreme interest in. And we broke down one of the foundational texts for communication apprehension within the self-help genre. This episode, I'm going to be looking at Chandler's book about feedback and getting a better idea of how the self-help ideologies manifest within CA literature, especially within the organization and business domain. Within this project, I use the term we to describe me and you as a listener going through this analysis, as well as I choose to use the term they to reference the author and their editor. Chandler and their editor, Ganesh, have actively marketed and advertised their book, Feedback and Other Dirty Words, highlighting the organizational perspective as well as their feminist critique of organizational culture. I consider this a foundational book due to its prevalence within organizational culture, its specific calling out of business culture and how self-help and intervention specifically can improve the culture overall. Over the next few minutes, I will look at the recurring themes of censorship, fixed versus growth mentality, and fear and dread. I found these themes while advertising the front matter as well as the promotional material of this book. The reason I have limited my scope to promotional material and the front matter is I am looking at the moment before a consumer buys into a product's ideals. I want to know and analyze what ideals and ideologies are advertised within the self-help genre, specifically targeted towards organizations and business. The first thing you see with this book, the front cover of a white background with a subject of BIPOC heritage, holding their face, looking dreadful, squishing their nose in a light blue button down over the white background, the black sensor bar that is located directly over their mouths is unavoidable. This black bar over the mouth reads the title Feedback and Other Dirty Words in parentheses, and at the top is the name of the author and editor, M. Tamara Chandler and Laura Dowling Glesh. The back of the book has a black and white theme with the bar on the top saying fair, focused, and frequent feedback, short blurb about the book and Chandler, and half of the back devoted to additional quotations. This black and white theme is only subverted with the names of the reviewers being a maroon brownish color. The last page before chapter one has feedback written out bolded and in the middle of the page. However, it is censored. The E's are replaced with pound signs, and the A is replaced with an at sign. And finally, it's followed up by an exclamation point.
Talking about the power. How do they frame power? When power is discussed in relation to censorship, it is done because they are able to use power to either intentionally change what someone else is putting out into the world or intentionally change what they are putting out into the world because of something else. You can also see how power is exemplified through the choice of the reviews, using terms as get this book, you need to read this book, this is important to success. They are saying that this is more important to their success more specifically. They're examining this book and they are using terms of gratitude and prosperity, such as growth, healthy, gifts, enlightened. There are also emotional words and framings such as cutting straight to the chase, practical, actionable ideas, reading, realistic. Each of these reviews and the way we've categorized these terms offer specific insight into where and why this book frames itself and has constituted value in reading and analyzing. The reviews are also explaining a should. They should buy into. This word interacts with our culture in many different ways. It describes an ethical obligation, and this should not only applies to the skill, but applies to the consumer nature of buying and endorsing this product. The theme of censorship and power is very relevant within this book. Using the front cover of the person looking dreadful with hands over their face and this black bar over their mouths looks like a censor bar. Talking about feedback and reference of dirty words, you're going to look and you can see the aspect of we are taking a curse word, something that has very large implications in some contexts, making it mild and using dirty words. This can argue to changing your tone for environment as well. This censorship idea that is in the cover can seem thematically in reference to power, because why do you censor yourself? You censor yourself or you are censored by others because of power. This power dynamic and the understanding of power within this book is very clear because they reference how you have to break down the stated hierarchy and get rid of the subordinate superior relationship. They argue within just the front matter that that relationship is toxic and one reason why we no longer communicate freely or have ever communicated freely in a work environment. So let's take a step back and talk about censorship a little bit. Who could they be censoring when referencing the front cover and the kind of conversation they foster within the introduction? I want to ask, who are they censoring? And I want to also answer by saying the way they frame this book is as a powerful individual looking at their less powerful peers and trying to fix that communication relationship. With the front cover, they are arguing that there is dread, fear, censorship. There are so many different arguments that can be seen thematically from this front cover, and that censorship idea can be seen throughout, as well as really kind of great lens to look at how we are viewing power. In this book, are we arguing that culturally we censor others, or are we censoring ourselves? Do you change your way of speaking for your environment, or does your environment change your choices around the ways of speaking? Going back to the fact that this is an organizational book and it references a lot of stereotypical office settings, I am arguing, and I will argue, that this book talks and pertains to censoring in office culture. They give a caveat in the front saying they're not a relationship expert. They are only speaking from their own perspectives and the perspectives of the editors and the contributors. When they use that kind of language, they are thematically reinforcing the ways that our organizations currently censor and understand themselves. Now, transitioning from censorship to power, the reason we censor is because of power. The reason you are censored is because of power, the power dynamic, the social relationship around whether the repercussions of this is allowed or proper. I want to argue power is referenced in this book only to explain the breaking of power, the need to get rid of that power. But arguing that getting rid of that power in such a mundane way as implementing small changes in your own organization and not actually addressing the systematic problems that, for one, have reinforced that hierarchy that you are now forced to break down, but also reinforces the need for a hierarchy because you still, using the non-hierarchical or trying to be subversive in your space, is not going to change the systematic things you have to fit in with. And those systematic things that you have to fit in with just reinforce the current ideas, constantly pushing you back. One caveat that they give in the introduction when they're trying to explain who they are, they say that they're not relationship experts, that they are two women within the office culture. That is a very small part of the front matter and the selling points within this book, as well as when they choose not to reference that throughout the foreword and the book and forefront that they are coming from a very specific place of privilege and power within the organization, not upfronting that can create a false understanding of who they are talking with. Arguably, someone who picks up this book and does not recognize who is talking to them could take information from this and not really contextualize it within the larger argument of their culture, thinking that feedback is just something that's a dirty word, soft, but not really hard, something that you have to deal with and getting over, and that apprehension around that conversation without recognizing the overarching inequities within the business culture, as well as an organizational hierarchy, arguably is harmful to potential consumers. One way I break down all of these artifacts is we organize emotional words by category or value. We use their terminology and try to find themes that are current and repetitive throughout the choices of words.
The theme of growth versus fixed mentality is present within the introduction as well as the reviews and the formation of the chapters. First, in the introduction, reference to growth and progress are abundant. I want us to focus on first this interaction between her and the audience. Given the fact that I have a long track record of developing great consultants and thriving organizations, I must be the queen of feedback, right? Wrong. I'm the first to admit that I also have work to do. Using the term queen of feedback alludes to the highest of high power that she could ascend to. This allusion to power and hierarchy creates a ceiling of where she could progress to, explaining that she's not the queen of feedback and reaffirming that she also has room to grow. Can be thematically linked to this growth versus fixed mindset that she is endorsing throughout this text. Other endorsements of this theme are in the bulleted conclusion of the introduction, explaining that the following are featured prominently throughout this book, as well as bedrock ideas to her method. Many of our beliefs and ideas about feedback are incorrect and counterproductive and have long been distorted by our experiences. She frames it as incorrect and counterproductive. The status quo is wrong. Why is it the status quo? Because it's our experiences. And she continues by elaborating that we need to embrace a new working definition, changing the current mindset to a new one. The next main point is, as I propose in the title, there is a way to fix feedback and put our fear of it behind us. Behind us shows progression, as well as her choice in terms such as movement, we all work. And finally, to develop individuals and build teams that thrive and grow and operate at optimum levels of performance, we must start with trust. This exclamation of trust is her affirming that you need to buy into her conversation as well as buy into her mentality. But trust isn't built in a day. She caveats that she does not assume that this change will happen fast. But this change needs to happen. Other examples of this gross versus fixed mentality are present in the choice of praise for feedback and other dirty words. Statements like set the tone of growth mindset to flourish, a nod to her growth mindset. The way we work is changing. We can transform, changing existing paradigms. And making your own feedback power super. All of these are reference to the mindset that we've established as current is that feedback is something we should avoid. That is the fixed idea. She is offering a counter idea of growth, fixed versus growth mindset.
Another way to look at this is using the term irreverent. Because of its negative connotation as well as its ambiguous denotation, it is used in the framing of a positive. So it's a very interesting juxtaposition that they use to try to explain how this book shows its tone, as well as the author and the author's thought about themselves. Continuously present within feedback and other dirty words is a fixed versus growth mentality conversation. Continuously, do they reference how in the past we've assumed a specific idea and now we need to use that idea but keep going with it? This keep going with it attitude feels very elusive towards how they represent growth within their conversations. I like using the argument of the fixed versus growth mentality is a thematic understanding of this book because of its use towards changing understandings that we currently know and trying to switch them towards an idea of constant effort. This book continuously references the fact that this is not a one and done. As a manager with your power, you have to do this specific thing to keep your organization or team together. And this reference to power kind of leads into my argument as well of growth and fixed mindset. When they're arguing that you have power, they are also trying to enforce their understanding of proper presentation of that power, the proper use of that power, how you should act with that power. And they conclude that you need to change how you think, and they often say how they believe you are currently thinking.
This growth versus fixed mentality of feedback and other dirty words can be seen throughout the genre and not only the subgenre of communication apprehension. This is an instance of the importation of larger self-help ideas into communication, apprehension, literature. Feedback and other dirty words speaks to me as a communicator that is constantly trying to invoke new interventions and new ways of thinking within my classroom. Feedback and other dirty words allowed me to map some of this conversation of subordinate-manager relationships to my work with students as possessing societal sway over their outcomes and how my societal sway impacts not only their anxiety, but their framing of our context as well as their power in the relationship and in the classroom. Feedback and other dirty words allowed me to evaluate framing of power and allowed me to map this power that these rhetors reference and utilize through their arguments to my power, sway, and influence within my classroom. Today, we spoke about themes that were prevalent within feedback and other dirty words, censorship and power being the largest, a growth versus fixed mentality, and finally, we talked about fear, as well as the implications of the previous framings on the culture of organization when this develops as a standard outlook or ideology.